Because obviously Dean is Dean, and he is not the mental load parent, which I'm not going to bring up now.
Okay, so that brings us on to the mental load of parents.
So I have actually pre-prepared something that I would like to share with you.
I am the primary earner.
Oh, and then I also have to think about the house. Are the bins empty? Have I turned the dishwasher on?
No, I think about the bins.
Oh, well, there we go, everybody. About the bins.
But yeah, some of the severity of the things that I think about, I think are really taxing on my mind, and they're different to what you worry about.
I would never make a judgment against dads to say they have no mental load, but I still think that the default parent has more.
Welcome to the Fun Dad Dean and Wife Unfiltered Podcast. I am Dean.
And I'm Sarah.
And we have started this podcast to give a true representation of parenting.
We like to give an honest view of what it is like to parent two young children whilst juggling working life and trying to have a life ourselves.
So what have we been up to this week?
Well, the big news of the day is happy birthday, Dean.
38 years old. 2 years until 40.
That is
incredibly depressing. And to bring me on a podcast to talk about the things we're going to talk about today is a great birthday present. So thank you.
What more could you want to do on your birthday than spend the day chatting with me?
I know. Well, at least the kids are at school and we've had a nice, chilled journey up here to London. And now, yeah, we get to do this. So
yeah, getting the train without the kids was a total different vibe coming up here today on your birthday.
Yeah, although we've got to rush back after, and then we don't really know what to do after here, do we? If you don't want to take the kids out to a restaurant.
Oh, no. Would that be a birthday present if I booked a restaurant and took the kids out for a stressful dinner? Would that be how you want to spend your birthday?
No, it would have been a great birthday present if you sorted out some childcare beforehand and then we went out just me and you. But that lack of planning, you know, I'll let you off that.
Thanks, babes. The lead up to your birthday, though, was also quite stressful because you don't know this, but last night, I got the girls to write a birthday card for you. So me being the stupid mum that I am, obviously nobody else make this mistake. Like, I only got one birthday card between the two of them. And I kind of said like, oh, Ruby, you can write on this side. And Daisy, you can write on this side. Anyway, Daisy wrote hers, and obviously she's older, so her handwriting was better. So then Ruby starts getting a bit like, I don't want to write the card. So Daisy said, oh, I'll just write it for you, Ruby. So then Daisy ended up writing your card. Anyway, 10 minutes later, Ruby's like literally in tears, crying. She's so upset because she wants to do a card for Daddy.
Yeah, I know. I came in from work and you're like, can you just go upstairs for 5 minutes? I just need the kids to do something. And I'm like, okay, so.
Not too obvious.
not leaving it till last minute then. And all I could hear from upstairs is Ruby going mad. And I'm thinking, that's going well down there. That is going well.
It was going brilliantly well. And then luckily, I knew in a drawer I had an old Valentine's card. So I went in the drawer and I found this Valentine's card. And obviously she couldn't read Valentine's. And it was like to my daddy from Daddy Bear from your baby bear or something like that. And I thought, perfect, right, she can give him that. So she just wrote that and gave it to you. There you go.
Was so cute though.
It was cute.
So
cute. What did she write in it?
To daddy in like Egyptian hieroglyphics. I couldn't quite make it out. Kind of make it out, and then I'm gonna give you lots of cuddles, kind of in some other language, and then love Ruby.
Oh, so, that
because that's
sweet.
Our thing, we do lots and lots of cuddles, don't we? Well, I do with Ruby. You're not as cuddly as I am, are you, with the kids? Like,
oh,
you are,
am?
You are,
how
but
rude.
I am, I think, marginally cuddlier, if that's a thing.
Oh, okay, they're just daddy's girls, that's why, because you're the good cop and I'm bad cop.
You think?
I think so. Every parenting dynamic needs a good cop and a bad cop. I'm quite happy to be bad cop.
You're more patient in that sense though. Like when I'm a bit like, I let them get away with probably a little bit more, but then when I go, I kind of go more than you.
Yes. Well, don't go today because it's your birthday, so we need to have fun. But it's definitely birthdays have changed over the years. We're not going out and celebrating in Oceania like we were back in the day for your birthdays. We're not, you know, going up London to Studio Valbonne. No, we're literally just staying in and getting a takeaway while the kids play in the garden.
Yeah, but that's how I like it. I mean, going away, going out to clubbing or even a bar, I'm just like, nah.
Oh, don't be so boring. You're such an old man. I'd can't love to. But yeah, so we've had birthday fun today. So happy birthday, Dean. I hope you have a fun day filming with us. Come along on the podcast. We're not going to argue because later in the podcast, we are going to address the mental load argument, which we have been putting off for the whole episodes. Like, it is something that we really want to discuss and talk about and hear everyone's opinions on, but we've been putting it off. But we'll come to that. Because something else we did recently that was extraordinarily stressful was put up the trampoline.
We did? No. I did. Well, you didn't do that.
I saved the day.
I would have sorted it.
Okay, so tell us about your trampoline putting up experience.
Okay, so first of all, the trampoline was bought back in February, wasn't it, for Ruby's birthday, but obviously the weather's terrible, so I haven't put it up. So it was okay, was it last week? So it was okay, so I thought I'd put it up, and she'd been asking me, and it was buried in this shed, and if you've heard the recent podcasts, I hate spiders and sheds and all that, so I was kind of waiting for Sarah to help me with that bit, to at least carry it out, but she wouldn't. So
no, because you need to face your fears. Go in the shed, pick up the box.
So I pathetically dragged it out with one hand and then got going on it, ordered it all out. Sarah's just waiting for me to get frustrated with her phone. Usually you would help a lot more, but I think in your mind you thought this is going to be great footage.
So no, I think you were just giving it the big one. You were like, I'll do this. And then he lays out all the pieces. But did you check them off? On the front of the pack, did you tick it off as you go? To be right, got that. Did you check everything was there first?
It is always.
Well, there was about five times when you were saying, this piece isn't here. This piece is missing. Oh, they haven't sent it all. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I know. But in my head, I thought, let's save an hour or two for this. And I'll really focus. Only take 1 or 2 hours. And I did really focus. I had a 5-minute break with a Diet Coke and it took me 3.5 hours, didn't it? And
it did.
It would have taken probably marginally quicker if I had better support rather than a wife that was just filming and laughing her head off at me the entire time.
Yeah, but the thing was, right? So I would come over and Dean would be really struggling. He'd be like, it's not right. It's on backwards. They haven't sent the right bit. And everything is not his fault.
We got into about 10 minutes in and I'm like, this piece doesn't fit. And then I was like, well, I worked it out. You had to slightly bend it. And she's like, you shouldn't have to bend anything to put it in. This is the wrong thing, right? Put it back in the box. This is not number two. Put it back in the box. We call them. I'm like, no, it isn't. These companies don't make that many mistakes like that. And we've said that on everything we've put together. It must be an error somewhere. So I thought, no, I'll give it more time. And it was the right piece.
You did put bits together wrong, though. You didn't read the instructions, did you? The instructions were the thing you'd look at last, really. Do you remember the hoop bit on the top?
I did read it.
Yeah, but you didn't read it properly because you did it wrong.
Instructions are shit.
Oh, blame the instructions. But can you imagine if we were one of those parents that left it to the night before? Imagine if that actually was your child's birthday and your child had a summer birthday and that was their present. We're just lucky that Ruby was grateful enough to have a trampoline in the box for her birthday with a kind of IOU, this will go up when we're ready.
Remember, when we bought it in February, we're going to get your brother over the day before. And then put it up with me. I was going to take up some time off work. And I was thinking to myself, we'd have been doing it in the dark.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have done it.
Can you imagine?
There's your birthday present, darling. A few bits of steel with something on the floor because we haven't finished it.
But don't you think, the parents, that pressure of putting together the stuff, you arrive and you have all these nice intentions of giving the kids something really nice for their birthday. And then actually the stress of putting it together, or when you get the box and it comes and it's in a million pieces and you just think,
we never had a row. No, we don't have a row, but we snap each a bit when we're doing it. Even the other
because I'm slow and methodical, and I'm laying it all out, checking it all off that we've got everything there, and then I want to read the instructions from front to back and then I want to put it together.
Life's but you're about just speed.
You're just okay, so life's about speed. So now with this trampoline is finished and it is together, Mr. Speedy Gonzalez. Yeah, why is it not finished?
Because there was about, I reckon there was about 20 screws at the end. I thought, I've read everything. Everything's together. Look, they're on it. They're using it. These must be spares. In the back of my head thinking, companies like this don't give you 20 screws. But I thought, oh, fuck it. I've been doing this 3.5 hours. So I just thought, dump them in the box, threw the box away. And then we realised later the legs had to be screwed together. But it is only like an extra... kind of an extra support, isn't it? I mean, it hasn't fallen apart yet, has it?
No, well, it's there for a reason. So, yeah, if anyone's listening and their kids want to come around our house and go on the trampoline, at your
own
risk.
One at a time. One at a time and not heavier than 4 stone, and then you'll be all right.
I also remember, though, is when we put up a climbing frame similar to that on Christmas Eve. We didn't learn from that. That was years ago. You put that was cold, putting up the climbing frame then. Like, again, came in a million pieces. And I also remember another Christmas Eve, and I'm going to put this out there. We put together, it was a pram. I mean, even the pram, I think, like, you know, like one of those kids' prams that the kids put their dolls in. It was like a fake like silver
play
cross.
Pram.
Yeah. And we put it together, and again, it was Aggie. It wasn't the best experience putting that together. Anyway, and then we hid it under the stairs, right? This is Christmas Eve, and our eldest must have been about 4 at the time. And I kept saying to Dean, make sure she doesn't go under the stairs in that cupboard. And he's like, oh, no, why would she do that? And he's, I actually think at one point you actually told me to shut up.
I put a coat over it, didn't I?
No, you didn't. No. Maybe then Christmas Eve, we're going round my mum's in the afternoon, and I know that this pram is under the stairs on Christmas Eve, and you know it's there. Dean goes under the stairs to get his shoes. And did you leave the door open or shut?
My mental load was so strong that day, I just frazzled. So
you left the door open, and then her main Christmas present, she's come down the stairs, walked down, and she's gone, oh, mummy, that's the pram I asked Santa for Christmas. Look, it's under the stairs. And I actually cried. I remember, I thought you'd ruined Santa, you'd ruined Christmas.
Sometimes Santa comes early, we told us. I mean, pops around early. For people to get loads and loads of presents, he has to pop around a bit early.
No, I said it was too big to come down the chimney, so he must have put it under the stairs. I mean, that was quick thinking.
She don't believe in him either, does she? No, like...
Well, no, she's 10 now.
No, but she didn't at 8. She was having suspicions.
I think about year 3 is normal to have suspicions about Santa. Is it?
I don't know.
Hopefully no one's listening with their kids in the car. If you are, sorry.
Yeah. Turn it off.
Also, last weekend, we went to Wales for a family event. And it's about 4 hours, the drive, but it was a nightmare. Oh my God, Dean, I actually think I have like PTSD from this trip.
We have PTSD because of your decision making, partly, and also the traffic. And to be honest, it's never 4 hours with the kids. 4 hours would be if you literally drove there, no stopping. I mean, that never going to happen with 2 young kids. So it took us about 5 hours, didn't it? Because there was a little bit of traffic. There was like an accident on the M4 or something. And then, and also Sarah's brilliant idea was, no iPads, no phones for the entire journey. And look, I don't agree with massive amounts of screen time, but I think on a 5-hour journey, that's very optimistic to completely get that out of the system. And oh my God. I mean, we both got to a restaurant the other side because I was starving and I couldn't even talk. I think we were just sort of looking at each other like, what is life really? Like,
you know what though? I was actually fine the first bit. So I've basically banned like tablets, iPod touches, anything like that. They're not allowed in the week, and I limit it at weekends. And like, to be fair though, they haven't had their tablets now since, was it Easter?
No, look, overall.
Easter holidays. Yeah, they haven't had their, or was it February half term? No, it was Easter holidays. They haven't had their tablets since then. And I actually think they've really been really good with that. And they've, you know, explored their toys more. They've played together more. They've been better more. So I was like, on this journey, on this road, I was thinking, yeah, this is okay. We've got this. So I just didn't even pack them, didn't even charge them, didn't even think of it. Got in the car. I was like, right, let's go. Here we go to Wales. And I thought, oh, they can play with each other. They can play I Spy and look out the window.
Let me just ask you a question, though. Did they have it on the way back?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. But no YouTube, CBeebies only.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's what's on the actual tablet.
Yeah, it's what they're watching. Like I think a few months ago, it was maybe after Christmas time, I just turned over and Ruby was like watching someone on YouTube unwrap a toy. And I just thought, what are you doing? Like, you could be going and playing with toys, but no, you're there watching somebody unbox a squishy or something and then play with the squishy. Why not just go and play with the actual toy? You've got squishies in your room.
At least that, I know that content's not great, though it isn't, but at least that's longer form. But I've caught her on like Condon's shorts, if she's had my phone, YouTube shorts, and that's when I'm like, nah. This short form, I know that's content we create, but not for kids.
For adults, it's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, this short form content for kids is not the way to go, I don't think so. Yeah, so that 5-hour journey was,
I think there was there was points where it was good, and I definitely think it was good that we tried it, and it wouldn't put me off doing it again. I would just go a bit more prepared next time, and hopefully there wouldn't be a junction on the M4 closed by a car fire. It would be easier.
You were just going through your decision. I was on the way there. I was like, this isn't good, is it? And you were like, this is brilliant. You're like, they're playing. I'm like, they're fighting.
It was good at the start, but then when I found out the M4 closed and we went on this like massive diversion, like all through, I don't even know where we were, but we went on this massive diversion. That's when I was just a bit like, oh my God, I've had enough now. And they were arguing over a blanket. I made the mistake to just take one blanket in the car. Why?
No, one had a pillow
and one had a blanket.
So I got the ump about 3 hours in, and I was like, they're not having either. So I grabbed the pillow, grabbed the blanket, put the pillow behind my head to wind them up, which didn't really help. Then I put like the blanket on me, didn't I? And I was like, look, I'm enjoying this. And they had no iPad, no phone, no anything to play with. And they would just, I was like, stare out the window and count birds or whatever, like we used to do. But they don't understand that concept.
But they will. We just got to keep ploughing at it, Dean. You got to be with me.
What, counting birds?
Not counting birds, but there's other games you can play. And then eventually, no, do you remember when then I got my phone out and they started like, we started choosing songs. Do you remember? We started choosing songs? Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, that was, I had Spice Girls.
Oh, I
to
love.
To become one. I won't do that again. God.
I love your voice.
Yeah, no one else does.
Sorry.
That was spontaneous. I haven't got that in the script.
But then you made a video about our trip, didn't you? You made it when we got to Wales, you made a little like video about it. Or was it the next morning you did that? Because I feel like it was quite a ranty one for you.
Yeah, I went for a little walk and I thought that 5-hour journey's killed me. I'm going to tell people that we've done no iPads and the experience of it. And I did it, and you know, people were like, you're mad, like believing no iPads and no phones and all that, but not on a 5-hour journey, kind of my opinion as well.
A lot of people actually said that the car is one place that they do allow their children to
have
them.
Yeah. A lot of people said.
But like, everyone's got an opinion on everything. And like we've said many, many times in this podcast before, I think because we put ourselves out there on social media and on these platforms, that people just think that's their God-given right to come back with a narky little comment or something really rude or just be plain damn nasty.
Yeah. I mean, this wasn't this comment we're going to talk about in a minute wasn't nasty. It was just like the perfect parenting comment.
Well, it brings us to our new feature. So every week in our podcast so far, we've talked about some of the trolling that we have both experienced in the last, well, you for years, but in the last whatever. And I've decided we are going to name and shame these trolls. Yes, Dean?
Not name and shame them, but we're going to, bring up their stupid comments and rip them apart, basically.
In a new feature that is called
Wanker of the Week.
Love it, the alliteration. Right, let's go. Who is this week's Wanker of the Week?
So on that video, we had a guy who said just two words, but really annoying, lazy parenting, talking about parents who do use iPads on journeys like that. And I just thought, shut up. Like, you're not
helping anyone. But also,
it's just that perfect parenting kind of attitude. And I looked at his profile and it was him cuddling a baby. I presume it was his baby, but no other kids. So he might have other kids, I might be wrong, but I'm thinking he's not at that stage where he's going to go a 5-hour journey and probably require an iPad or a phone just to take the edge off it. He's probably going to have a baby that's going to sleep most of the time and not understand what an iPad is. So
his baby will probably even poo out roses as well.
Yeah. But it does, is it lazy parenting?
Oh, I think, I mean, my whole opinion on it has very much changed in the most recent months because I've been doing my research about it. Daisy's been coming to an age where she is going to have a phone at some point, but I'm not there with it yet. I think I need to just keep on doing my research. I definitely want to lower their screen time. And part of my journey with that is my project of the garden. So our girls have both got like wintery birthdays, so October and February. But I asked family members when they asked what to buy them, I thought, oh, do you know what? I don't want any more plastic crap in my house. I don't want any more Barbies. I don't want any more like toys cluttering up my house. Do you know what? I want to get them outside more in the summer when they get in from school. I don't want the telly to be turned on. I want them to get outside and have some fun. So I'm trying to fill the garden up with like trampolines, basketball net. What else have we got? Oh, swing ball. Do you remember swing ball? When you put the thing in the ground and then you hit it.
I need to go up. Still in the living room.
Yeah, that's Ruby got that for her birthday as well. That's still not up. But you know, like things like that. So I'm not quite there yet with my screen time. I don't know.
I've used it lazily. Like I have. Like if I think to myself, oh my God, I just need like an hour or half hour to myself. I have kind of plonked them on. And I'm not saying that's great parenting, obviously not, but sometimes we need to recoup some, you know, to be better parents, don't we? Or not. Sometimes we need a break to be able to be better parents in the long term. If we're constantly stressed, worrying about these menial things, like, oh no, can't give them 10 minutes of screen time. Is that
I'm not worried about 10 minutes of screen time. I'm worried about A, what they're watching, B, is it suitable, C, how long they're on it for.
Yeah. I'm very conscious about how long they're on it for, I've got to be honest. If I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, it's been an hour now, she has to come off.
Don't tell me that.
Because if I know for myself, if I've been scrolling TikTok or Instagram for half an hour, I come off like, my brain is like just fried.
But yeah, so not the massiveest wanker of the week this week, Dean. I think we can do better next week.
No, but it wasn't a particular wanker of the week, but it brought in a decent discussion, I felt like, with that one. I mean, obviously, we get really trolls just being horrible, and sometimes it's...
Like the one who told me I look like your mum. Thank you, out there.
Yeah, my mum is beautiful, though.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Sue. Yeah.
Not as beautiful as you, of course. Okay, so that brings us on to the mental load of parents. And before I start, this isn't a competition about who has more mental load out of the mum and the dad. Okay, this is just to discuss what goes through each other's minds and how of a mental strain parenting and adult life can be for either or.
Yeah, but it also can be an opportunity for anybody listening, male, female, whoever is listening, single parents, parents that do it together, anybody out there, of how you can help with a mental load situation when your partner may be feeling overwhelmed. I really hope it, I mean, this is one me and Dean have been putting off talking about because I don't think we're going to agree, but hopefully on his birthday, we're not going to have a bust up and I'm not going to, you know, throw a microphone at his head, but let's just wait and see.
No. So I made, where this stems from, so I made a video on Instagram, didn't I? Yeah. Where I'd had enough of people making videos portraying all the mental loads on the mum, and the dad walks around thinking about his football team. So for me, it'd be West Ham and moaning about David Moyes. And watching those videos just really annoys me because I know how much I worry about certain stuff and how much anxiety I feel day to day. So to like portray dads as going around with like this airy fairy mentality, I found annoying. So I done a video on Instagram saying that, look, mums have a huge mental load, completely understand that, but also let's think about the dads as well. Let's not portray them in this. And I know some dads are like that, okay? But from my personal experience and the dads I know and speak to through my page, they have got a lot going on as well. And again, it's not about who has more, okay? It's about, you know, understanding what's going through each other's minds, I think.
Yeah, and I think this is something, so I have actually pre-prepared something that I would like to share with you. And it's basically, we said we were going to Wales, didn't we, the other week? So we went to Wales. Unfortunately, it was my granddad's funeral, so that's the reason why we were going to Wales. So already, you can imagine my mental state about that anyway. So we are getting ready to go for Wales. So I am working. I am a teacher. I don't not work. So I already in my head, I'm thinking, right, okay, well, I've got to think about work. I have to think about, you know, putting on my out of office, making sure that my class is covered. I've got my work mental load, right? Okay, so I'm still not switched off from work. Okay, and then not only that, I had to come back and I had to, you know, think, right, well, what are the girls going to wear for the funeral? Are they clean? What coats are they going to wear? What shoes are they going to wear? What tights are they going to wear? What socks are they going to wear? What's the weather like? Then I had to decide, okay, what are we going to eat when we're there? What food shop should I get? Okay, they need their blankets. They need their teddies. We need to take this. We need to book a table, actually, because we're going out for dinner on the Thursday night. Okay, I need to pack their toothbrushes, but then they need different toothpaste because they can't possibly have the same toothpaste. Then I've got to get petrol.
Hold on.
Then I've got to think about the timings and when we're going to leave. What are they going to have for dinner on the long journey? Then I think, oh, I've got to pack an activity bag because when we go out for dinner, they need stuff to do. Then I've got to think about their hair bands and their hairbrushes. I've got to think about how, well, you know, I've got to remember those, can't not forget. Then I've got to think about, you know, taking the washing. Oh, last time we went to the caravan, I brought the clean towels and the bedding home. So I've got to make sure I take them back or we won't be able to, you know, wash ourselves or sleep in the bed. Then I thought, oh no, Ruby's got a kids party within about an hour of when we get back on Saturday. Have I got the present ready for the kids party? What outfit is she going to wear? Oh, have I RSVP'd on the WhatsApp group? Then the class WhatsApp group comes through on the Friday, on the day of the funeral. It's the class cake sale. Have I baked any bloody cakes for it? No, I fucking haven't. So then I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll send £5 for the cakes. So I've got to do that. Wow. Oh, and then I also have to think about the house. Are the bins empty? Have I turned the dishwasher on?
No, I think about the bins.
Oh, well, there we go, everybody. About the bins. But I knew I was going to talk very, very quickly and very, very long then. So I'm really sorry for anyone listening. Don't excuse my passion for anger.
But the point...
Wait, I need to finish my point. I'm putting my foot down. Here we go. So my point is in those situations, and I can imagine many, many people, one parent, there's always one parent that tends to be the child parent, you know, that go-to, what do they call it? Like the default parent. So if you are the default parent, which for leaving the house, for organisation purposes, for all those kind of things, I am, okay? If you are that default parent, the other parent... Even if go upstairs and just think, right, what can I pack? How can I help in this situation? And I'm not going to lie, Dean, you saw me, I was running around that house like a blue ass fly. And you might say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've got work. I have work as well. I am a working mum and I have both. Oh, the fire alarm's going off. Brilliant news. That's all right. We love a bit of drama in the podcast. So that's me just getting my mental load out there. But mums, dads, parents, whoever, grandparents, whoever's looking after the kids, whoever is leaving the house with the kids, I know that if you are that default parent, my point is, I know my mental load of those things isn't necessarily anything that's life-threatening. You know, if I forget the shoes, I forget the shoes. If I forget, I don't know. You know, it's those things like the WhatsApp groups. Are you on the birthday party WhatsApp groups? Are you on the school WhatsApp groups?
No. And when I've done that video, I agree. There's a lot of things that you have to think about. But there's a lot of stressful things that I have to think about. And also, I know you didn't want to bring money into this discussion, but in today's world, finances is hugely stressful.
And I have that stress as well. I have that strain.
No, I know you have that strain, of course, but you do have me in between that kind of strain, because in our relationship, I know every relationship's different, but in our, I am the primary earner. And if I did something happen to my job or anything that I'm earning money from, we would struggle. And that does create a huge amount of pressure for the dad. And look, I like being that. Okay. And also, I was going to say about your thing, you wouldn't, I know, and I do help you in. In your mental load that you just came up with there. And I do try and help. And obviously, I think I'm a lot better than I used to be. Definitely a lot better than I used to be. But yeah, some of the severity of the things that I think about, I think are really taxing on my mind. And they're different to what you worry about, I would say.
I'm not ever for one second saying that the non-default parent out there has a... like no mental load. And I think those videos that offend you, I think they're just exaggerated jokes. But I can imagine a lot of mums out there, you know, when we go to the beach in the summer, Like, oh, actually, what I forgot to add on, actually, which I must just speak now, I forgot the biggest part, right? So when we left for Wales for the funeral, having like run around the house, getting everything absolutely ready, all Dean had to do was pack for himself. So I used to pack for Dean, right? And then he'd say, I'm not a child, I can pack for myself. Okay, so we pull off out of the drive, in the car, off we go, we get to the end of the road. Dean, oh, I forgot my suit and my shirt and my jacket.
Yeah, I know, I was too busy paying that huge electricity bill. Just
oh, you arrogant prick. But the point is, leaving the house, that I would say I am the default parent. I think about everything for the kids. And I'm just saying, it would be nice.
But would you?
It would be nice.
No.
If you could just maybe, you know, if we're going to the beach in the summer, pack the sun cream.
And yeah, I agree. I could be better at that. But also, would you want me to take control of that? Like, let's say.
Yes!
No. Let's say we swap.
Not control.
Let's say we swapped. And I'm like, look, I'll sort out the kids' birthday party. I'll sort out this. Or I'll sort out whatever this, you know, this. Parent pay that I got slaughtered for in the comments, all this kind of stuff, I sorted that. Would you be like, okay, then you go and do that? Or do you like being in that position? And you know, and I like being in the position I am in the relationship. Does it work?
I think to a point it works, but I definitely think it's things, little things, and I've seen loads of reels on social media about this, is little things like if you're going to Asda or you're going for the food shop and you're thinking, oh, I'm such a good husband, I'm helping out with the food shop. Oh, you know, and you go off and you think, I have done the food shop. Oh, great. But who wrote the fucking list? Who thought about every little thing on that list? Who thought about all
sometimes
the dinners?
I do buy spontaneous food though, don't I?
Oh, yeah, and that's really helpful.
But the point of the video was not to, like, as I say, again, the point of the video was not to compare who has mental load, just to raise awareness to dad's mental load as well. And what it done is it triggered a lot of mums to basically say, kind of what you're saying here, that, look, we have a much bigger mental load. Dad's, you haven't got as much as we have, all this kind of stuff. And I think when dads talk about, like, their own mental health, and a lot of, obviously, mental health rates with dads is higher than mums, suicide rates are higher than mums, it stops them speaking out. Because if you do speak out and then you get a comments full of like this, I'll read one out. Like there's a lot of comments on that post, and one of them said, totally disagree, my husband doesn't know half, he's a fantastic dad and we both work full time and we definitely have the kids 50-50, but he has no idea about the kids' parties, World Book Day, school day. Then we have cleaning the house, food shopping, school uniform. And there's a little reason women have 1,000 things in their brain and men have work, bath, bed. Just saying. Look, there's an element of truth to that. Of what you've just said.
I'm not going
to
lie, Dean. When you read that out, I do semi-agree with that poor woman.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, God.
Work, bath, bed. Do you think that's all
no,
I'm
no,
thinking about
end,
during
the
day?
Not the end of it, though. Not that last bit. But, you know, who does all the correspondence for, you know, school? And like poor Ruby the other day, because I'm on the class WhatsApp group and you're not, right? The PE day had changed. But where I go to school, we don't have our phones out. We're not allowed our phones like in the classroom. So I lock it away in a drawer. And then I go to look at it at lunchtime and I was like, oh my God, the PE day's changed. And it's just little things like she went to school that day, not in her PE kit, in her school uniform. I don't want to put the kids through that. So my question to you is, can I add you to the WhatsApp groups?
Yeah, so let me just put a caveat on that.
No, hold on. Can I add you to the school
WhatsApp
group?
I'm on the year four one. I'm on Daisy's one.
Yeah, but can I add you to the reception?
Put on silent, but I'm on it. Just need it when I need to ask a question. I feel bad for asking a question. I'm like, I never contribute, but I need to ask a question today. So yeah, you can go on the reception one. But as I say, Monday to Wednesday, I have the kids in the morning. So you go to work at like 6:30, 7:30. I have the kids in the morning, which obviously there's a few things to think about there, and I've got good at it, so it's almost automatic.
Who washes their uniform? Who makes sure the uniform's clean?
But I do worry about that. I do. I honestly do think
about. You don't trust me to make sure it's clean.
No, but I often, so I do a lot of the, I do put a lot of clothes away in that house. I do. And let's not get into an argument about that, but I do. And every time I look in the wardrobe, I will see, I'll look, yeah, she's got uniform for the week. I do think about that 100%. Yeah, so Monday to Wednesday, I have the kids. And, you know, that I think I do more than probably the average dad in that respect, in terms of how involved I am. And then Monday also, I pick the kids up from school and I have to work from home from like 3:30 till 6:00. And that is, I don't enjoy that at all. Again, that's a huge strain because I'm trying to look after the kids and I'm also trying to not get behind on my workload. That is not easy.
No, I completely agree with that. And I do think that, you know, times have changed and times have shifted. And you are great with the kids and you're helpful with, you are. But I do think that's right. You are their parent. We are 50-50. Oh, no.
And
you should. You know, there's lots of times where I'm stressed and I'm working from home and I'm trying to get stuff done. And but the kids are there.
But that was the whole point in the original discussion of video. Look, it's hard and there's things on both mum and dad's mind. And I don't know. Yeah, some dads are useless. But then again, some mums are, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly.
So some dads are useless, but the ones I know, and I saw some stats written in the comments as well. Some are saying that, you know, apparently 10 out of 100 dads like get involved in their kids' education or school stuff and all that. And numbers seem low, but kind of that's not, you know, people we know, that's not typical. I would say the people we know and are close to, the dads are very active.
I think there's one quote that I see quite regularly, and I do really agree with this. It's the fact that, so you have to listen to this to hear it, right? So it says, women are expected to raise kids like they don't work and work like they don't have kids. And that for me really resonates with me because I agree. I do.
I agree with that. And also, I'm a bit old school in that respect. Like my idea, I've said on previous podcasts as well, that I would love to be primary earner, which, you know, you not have to work at all. I would love that. So the kids get you all the time.
Or just find a job that works around the kids. Because obviously being a teacher, I do get the holidays. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for that time to be with the kids and, you know, not have to organise all that childcare. I don't know how people out there do that. If you work full time and then you've got a 6 weeks holiday, oh my goodness, like I take my hat off to you. But it would just be really nice because there's like clubs they want to do on certain days or, you know, play dates they want to have. And I can't be around for those. And I do have a level of guilt around that, especially when I'm now part-time, but I wasn't when Daisy was younger. I was 5 days a week and that was really hard. There was 3 days I didn't see her because I was leaving before she was awake and then getting home and she was asleep. And I found that really hard.
Yeah, I remember those times. I remember ringing you from work and you were just a different person to you are now. Just, you were incredibly down, weren't you? And I couldn't really see it because, don't know, I don't need as much time with, I'm happy to work for.
But you had the mornings with them.
Yeah.
So you did have that time. You had that time.
Yeah, stressful as hell.
I know, you had to make breakfast. But I try to help, you know, I do. But even when you do the mornings, there is a whole body of work behind those mornings. Like I said, like the uniform, making sure that there's food in the cupboards for breakfast, making sure their packed lunches are ready, making sure that, you know, their bags are packed, their reading's done, their homework's done, their spellings are done. There is a lot of work that goes behind.
And I fully appreciate that. But I think if I was in your mind and you was in my mind, we would fully appreciate each other more in that respect. I don't think you'd want to be in my mind. It's a string of anxious thoughts 24/7.
But I just think I'm really interested to hear everyone's opinions on this mental load argument because... Obviously, what happened on your page was, I do believe that the video you made was actually just about sticking up for dads, not insulting like the mums
or
the default parent.
Not at all. That's why I was really surprised about how many mums came on and literally...
But maybe the mums are just stressed. That's why they've kind of seen it as a personal attack, which I know you didn't mean... That wasn't the purpose of your video.
No, of course not. I know how much mums think about. I know how much you think about. I know all of that. It was just trying to stick up for dads because I think they get a bad rap. some deserve it, of course, but I just feel overall we get a bit of a bad rap sometimes, especially on social media, and I was just sticking up for them, and that was it. It wasn't about a competition. It wasn't about, oh, you're 50%, I think about fit. It was nothing to do with that. It was just like, look, I have a bit of an anxiety disorder, you know, I have a lot of anxiety, so my mental load feels a lot of the time, you know, and I'm not saying that's not, again, a competition, but it just is what it is. So, yeah, some mums came on and said, do you have a login to Parent Pay, yes or no? Which I found quite amusing.
Why? Because you don't know what Parent Pay is.
Yeah, but my response was, no, I don't have a login to it. I just click on it and pay.
But you don't. I click on it and pay and then ask you for the money later.
But we had obviously some dads came on and was very supportive of the video. Yeah, one came on and I thought this was a good video. Interesting how many women are upset about this video. As you say, Dean, we worry about different things. Example, my van service is due. Are there wife car service and MOT? Can I afford repairs if it fails? I need to sort out the heating system at home. There's an issue with the window upstairs. Garage roof is leaking, etc., etc. We may not look like we care, but inside we are worrying about other things. And I think,
So for your video, it helped that it resonated with that.
Lots of dads came on and was like, yeah, thank you for this. And again, they don't put down what the mums were doing at all. It was just some mums were basically like, whether the dad's not doing enough.
Like, I know it's not a competition, but for example, like that message that man's just come back to you with. If we needed a roof repair, if we needed the car being serviced, they're all things that I would class that would still be in my mental load as well. I would still think about those things. But what my argument is there are things I would say are mental load, like if there's a financial worry or if there's a house worry or if we need to do the garden or we need to cut the grass, I can still see those things. And I'm still thinking to myself, oh, and they need to be done. I need to remind Dean to do those. So that's still within my mental load, but there are many things that I think about, that I organise, that I arrange and that I do, even down to like buying kids Christmas presents, doing party invitations, liaising with your mum to meet up.
Like, and I don't disagree. Like, I'm completely on board with that.
I do think, and I shoot me now if you think I'm wrong, but I do think, I would never make a judgment against dads to say they have no mental load, but I still think that the default parent has more. And generally in our circles, in our experience, when I speak to my friends and my sisters and things like that, it's the mum that carries that.
I would say
load.
The amount of things you think about is more, but maybe not some of the weight of the things I would think are more for me. That's kind of how I would describe it. But again, I'm not in your mind and you're not in mine. And we've just, I think, to move forward with that, you just talk openly about what's on your mind and what you're worrying about, and that's the only way to move forward. But I fully appreciate with all the things you do and you're saying you do. Yeah, I do. I haven't at one point said against that.
I think we've managed to go through the mental load argument without actually arguing that bad. I'm quite proud of us.
Yeah, but I wanted...
Maybe I went easy on you since your birthday.
I didn't want it to be a mum versus dad kind of battle. It was about more of an understanding.
But you can see the frustration in these scenarios, in this situation, when, like, my main thing is getting ready to leave the house or getting ready to go on holiday or, you know, that Christmas, you know, that lead up at Christmas at that time of the year when the school's like, it's Christmas jumper day, they need a Christmas thing here and this is there and the nativity's here and they got a school carol concert here, like that kind of thing, when I'm already trying to get Christmas ready for our house. I mean, obviously, that's a whole different, you know.
Oh yeah, the Christmas time for you, like worrying about presents and stuff. I'm like, God, or you just send me a link, and I'm just like,
that's my contribution. But I still take the hardest bit. The hardest bit is researching the present, finding the present, thinking about what that person wants. It's very easy to just get the link and click it. Anyway, what do you think? Who's won this argument today? The mental load argument. Was it an argument, or is the mental load bigger for me or for Dean? Who is it?
So I'm happy we got through that, still married. And as always, thank you so much for listening. And we appreciate all the messages, DMs, all the reviews, especially the reviews on Apple and on the ratings on Spotify. They really, really help us out to reach a wider audience. And so more people can listen to us chat about parenting problems and stuff like mental load.
I'm really happy we've addressed our mental load issue now, and let us know what you thought, and hope you have a good few weeks, and thank you for listening.